Reading today comes from Philemon 1 through 21. From Paul, who is a prisoner for the cause of Christ Jesus, and our brother Timothy, to Philemon, our dearly loved co-worker, Apapha, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church that meets in your house, may the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Philemon, I thank my God every time I mention you in my prayers, because I've heard of your love and faithfulness, which you have both for the Lord Jesus and for all of God's people. I pray that your partnership in the faith that might become effective by an understanding of all that is good among us in Christ. I have great joy and encouragement because of your love, since the hearts of God's people are refreshed by your actions, my brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to command you to do the right thing, I would rather appeal to you through love. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus, appeal to you for my child Onesimus. I became his father in faith during my time in prison. He was useless to you before, but now he is useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, which is like sending you my own heart. I considered keeping him with me so that he might serve me in your place during my time in prison because of the gospel. However, I didn't want to do anything without your consent so that your act of kindness would occur willingly and not under pressure. Maybe this is the reason that Onesimus was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave. That is, as a dearly loved brother. He is especially dearly loved brother to me. How much more can he become a brother to you, and personally and spiritually in the Lord? So if you really consider me a partner, welcome Onesimus as if you were welcoming me. If he has harmed you in any way or owes you any money, charge it to my account. I, Paul, will pay it back to you. I am writing this in my own hand. Of course, I won't mention that you owe me your life. Yes, brother, I want this favor from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. I'm writing to you, confident of your obedience and knowing that you will do more than what I ask. Also, one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me. I hope that I will be released from prison to be with you because of your prayers. And these are holy words for holy people. Thanks be to God.
So I've got this idea. It just occurred to me. We need to write an app called Philemon Go. So people go around to different churches collecting Bible characters, and they can learn something about them. This is my new Christian education project. It's a terrible idea. All right. Oh, Philemon. I love Philemon. I actually translated the entire letter to Philemon in seminary, in Greek class. And I learned some fun things along the way. Philemon, basically, in Greek, means a friend, a dear friend, someone you love. Comes from the same philos that we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Comes from that Greek word for love, Philemon. A lover or a loved one, or, you know, someone who has affection. My favorite thing that I learned was when I came across refresh my heart in Christ. Because in Greek it was refresh my bowels in Christ. And as I translated that, I went, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. So, like, I asked my teacher about it, and he said, Yeah, the Greeks thought of the bowel as the seat of emotion. It's where we get expressions like, I have a gut feeling, or I have a visceral feeling. I thought that was the seat of emotion. And that was like my favorite thing that I learned from that. Just because I have that kind of warped mind and sense of humor. Another thing I loved about this book was when Paul goes all Godfather on Philemon. Right around verse 17 or so, in parentheses, it's like, I don't have to remind you that you owe your very life to me. I love that. I told you that one day I would have a favor to ask. And that day is today. I want you to receive your brother, not as a slave, but as your brother. And I don't have to remind you, do I, that you owe me your life.
That's as good as my Brando gets. It's not great. It's okay. It's not great. It's not as good as my walking, but everybody does walking. Or my Pacino. This is my impression of Johnny Depp's impression of Al Pacino.
A skeleton walks into a bar and says, I'll have a beer and a mop.
So two Godfather actors in one sermon. All right, cool. I just work in, go to the mattresses at some point, and we'll be great. All right. Philemon. This is a letter from Paul to a guy who apparently they have a relationship, a past, a history. And we don't know anything more about that history than just what Paul tells us in this letter. That you owe me your life, that you owe me your salvation. That this is clearly somebody who has come to Christ because of Paul. We know that much. We know that Philemon owned a servant named Onesimus. And that Onesimus has been Paul's companion, has also come to Christ with Paul, and has become kind of a co-worker and a fellow evangelist. And so Paul writes a letter to Philemon saying, I'm sending him back to you, but I don't want you to keep him as a servant or a slave anymore. I want you to keep him as an equal. Because once upon a time, he was useless to you. And I wish I knew the history behind that, that he once was useless to you. But now he's useful to both of us. And he's useful because of his work for Christ. This letter speaks to one of my core beliefs about Christianity and salvation and what this business is all about. Because the gospel is about liberation. The gospel is about freedom. The gospel is about releasing us from what binds us. Physically, spiritually, metaphorically, and literally. The gospel is about being freed from what has you tied up. It's about being let go from what holds you back. And the heart of liberation that is expressed in this letter is that in Christ, through what we might call salvation, through what we might call redemption, through what we might call a new life in Christ, Onesimus should no longer be a slave. And Philemon should no longer be a slave owner. But they are both redeemed by being equal. That their equality liberates both of them. Liberation at the heart of the gospel. Liberation at the heart of the good news. Liberation at the heart of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus is about frees us from being privileged or underprivileged. It frees us from being oppressed or being the oppressor. It frees us from being powerless or too powerful. The great Fritz Perls, the psychologist, once wrote that to suffer one's death and to be reborn is not easy. I love that understatement. Because there's nothing easy about liberation. Liberation's hard work. Liberation is tough. When somebody has been a criminal and they have been in prison or they have been in jail or they have been in a psychiatric institution, they become institutionalized. And you give them liberation and freedom, and they don't know what to do with it. We've seen it time and time again. The folks who are given freedom and freed from what binds them are lost without some kind of guidance, without some kind of structure, without some kind of support. It's not as easy as just opening the door and saying, "You're free." And on the other side of the coin, liberation from being the oppressor or being the one with a lot of power is also difficult. Because the two hardest things to let go of are power and money. This power is mine, and I'm going to keep it. This money is mine, and I'm going to keep it. It's hard to let go of status and power. And it's hard to be free when you've grown so accustomed to the cage. But this book, this short little letter written by Paul's own hand, expresses that truth that God expects liberation for you and for Onesimus. And where you once walked with a power differential, your job now is to walk hand in hand. Equal footing, level playing ground. Because Christ has given you a reset. Without liberation, there ain't no good news. Without freedom, there's no good news. Without being freed from what binds us, there is no good news. We white mainline Christians, Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, all of us, are struggling with decline in the church and a decline in religious belief. And we have folks who are conservative evangelicals telling us, well, if you want to save the church, if you want to keep growing, you need to be conservative and evangelical like the rest of us. Do you know where the church is growing? African American congregations, Latin American congregations. If you want to look at what is thriving and where the Holy Spirit is moving and where the church is really coming to life, look at black churches, look at Mexican churches, look at Spanish-speaking congregations. And why are they thriving? And why do the people take their religious lives seriously? And why do they just seem more spiritual? Why do they seem more joyful when they come to church? Because every Sunday they are being preached liberation. That there is liberation for you, that there is liberation for me, that there is liberation for all of us. And that if we could get on board with who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ taught and really focus on the stuff that Jesus actually died for, we can all be freed from what binds us. It's not about assent to a doctrine. It's not about assenting to a bunch of beliefs. It's not about memorizing passages of Scripture and being able to recite them. It's not about being able to pass the test at the end of confirmation class. It's about liberation and freedom and relationships. It's about learning that we are all equal in God's eyes. And in trying to look at ourselves and one another through God's eyes, with that same equality, that same liberative lens. The great Rachel Held Evans, who just died far too young, wrote that it's a shame that Christians spend so much time arguing about beliefs and doctrines and spend so little time on relationships? Because the core teaching of Christianity is that we have a God who would die to preserve a relationship with you. Preach, sister. Oh my. The good news is that you can be liberated from what binds you. And I'm not trying to sell you a bill of goods. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm trying to convince you that if you really look at the world through God's eyes, if you really look at life through God's eyes, you will see opportunities to free yourselves and to free others by treating them as your equals, whether they are above you or beneath you, in the ways that the world teaches that they are above or beneath you. See, isn't that great? Christianity teaches us stuff that runs counter to what the world tries to drive into our heads every day. Every day we are taught that there's social status, that there's a ladder to climb, that there's better than and worse than. And Jesus says, you're all my people, you're all my family, and I love you. Forget all that stuff. Come live with me in a relationship and be free. So I want you to pray this morning, I want you to pray this week, that whatever binds you will be revealed to you. That whatever is holding you back from really being who God created you to be would be revealed to you. That the sin that separates you from God or keeps you from having a more fulfilling relationship with God, that would be revealed to you. And that you would see the liberation and the freedom offered to you by a God who would die to keep a relationship with you. I think there's good news in that. But what do I know? I'm just a hick from Carrier Mills, Illinois. Good news. Amen. And as we ponder the good news,